Oh, boy. Oh, boy. What isn't happening tonight is really the question. Jordana Green, so happy to be with you tonight. So thrilled. I was off on Friday night, as I often am on Friday nights because it's the Sabbath. So I'm so happy to be with you back here on Monday night. Chris Elston, what's it been like? Maybe 4 months since we've been together?
4 or 5, yeah. You know.
We work together every week.
Every week, apart from you, feels like a month.
Oh, I love it. Oh, he's so good. He's that good. That's why he's still married, my friend. 2 kids later, that's why he's still married. Here we go. In my studio today, we have some special guests. We have Alex Daniels. Alex is a Lawrence College student from Dubuque, Iowa. He's also a broadcasting major working in television and radio on his campus. So we're going to chat with him about that and his experiences. He's brought his dad and his uncle. So we're grateful that they are all in our studio. They're here for the live radio experience. So, Chris, we have to pretend that this is super exciting tonight.
What do you mean? It is exciting. Yeah. Like, look at it. Look at how well I dressed for this experience.
We have to pretend this is exciting. The big news of the night, folks, is that I found chocolate with Pop Rocks in it. Did you like it?
I did. I got another one here.
I have some more for you, okay? Because it has to be the experience. My kids, we have a small market in my neighborhood, a little neighborhood market. And the kids go and find these bizarre candies, and they bought it. And they're like, Mom, it's chocolate with Pop Rocks. I said, that's the best thing ever. You guys want some Coke to go with that so it can explode in your mouth? Because you know that rumor from the 80s where Mikey, the guy from the – what cereal was that? Mikey, he likes it. What cereal?
Yeah.
What cereal?
Life cereal.
Life. It was Life. Thank you. It was Life cereal. Yeah. You're too young to know that, Chris. But yeah, it was Life cereal that he allegedly died from the Pop Rocks and the Coke. That wasn't true. Totally urban myth. But chocolate – Pop Rocks and soda. There's nothing better than that. So I'm really effectively trying to murder everybody in the studio by serving this to everybody tonight.
I'm trying to get the Pop Rocks going in my mouth to see if we can.
Can we hear it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Can you?
But I'm not there yet. I have to let.
Kind of let it melt
a
little.
Let the chocolate melt.
And everyone says, "What's it called?" I said, "I don't know. My 9-year-old brought it back. What do I know? I just put it in my mouth, and it's Pop Rocks and chocolate. There's nothing better than that." I can hear it. I can hear it. Yes, I can.
Not really working. I haven't had Pop Rocks in so long, though. When you brought this in, it's been like 15 years.
See, here's that. I'm that mom. Okay. Yes, I can hear it. They sell Pop Rocks in.
So dumb.
Oh, that's how the show's going to kind of roll for the next 2 hours. I bought them Pop Rocks to send them to camp. You know, because they should have Pop Rocks at camp. What's more exciting than that? You know, to send in their packages at sleepaway camp, because that's super exciting. But I'm that mom who's, you know, like Mikey's mom. I could be accused of trying to murder my own children, which I'm not. But Pop Rocks are fun. And you can't find them at the regular grocery because they're probably illegal in the U.S. now.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. Come to my house, folks, for some Pop Rocks.
They're wherever they took all the candy cigarettes. They just put them all in a big warehouse somewhere and nobody can ever have them again.
I miss candy cigarettes. I do. Speaking of being a crappy parent, I'm feeling that way this week because my sister called me and asked me for this advice. And I said, Deb, I can't give you this. Her name is Deb. I can't give you this advice because I don't know what to do. I talked to my kids about it. I talked to my friends about it. I talked to Mike Max about it. I talked to Chris about it. And I said, I need to ask the WCCO listeners because they will know the answer to this question. So my sister's son, he's 11 now, maybe almost 12, has friends and they're twins, okay? And one he really likes, one not so much. He says, you know, the other one he doesn't like so much. So, but they're kind of a package deal with the twins. And they were trying, I guess their mom was trying to set up a play date because I guess you still do that at 11 and 12, I don't know. And my sister calls me and says, my nephew wants to play with one but not the other. And she doesn't know how to tell the mom. Okay, so we want, you know, this one, but not the other one. How do you do that? And the son says he just doesn't really like the other kid. And he's, you know, messy and he doesn't listen and whatever. And I had no idea how to handle that. My daughter has a friend with, and she's friends with twins, but they're very different. She's closer with one than the other, but the other one goes her own way. Like they've sort of managed to work that friendship out and they're not a package deal. But these boys are still a package deal. And yet my son wants to separate the package. Or her son, excuse me, wants to separate the package. And I asked my kids what we should do about this. And they looked at me. They go, You're the parent. This is what they say to me. You're the parent. We don't know what to do. You know, my kid said it worked. My daughter said it worked out with her on her own. My other kids don't have problems like this. I didn't know what to tell my sister. I mean, what do you think, Chris? You're a parent. Yours are still little. But what do I tell? Does my sister call the other mother and say, look, my kid only feels close to one of your kids, or he doesn't feel comfortable around the other one, or can we just have a play date with one? Or how do you manage that as a parent? And then if you're a parent of twins, how did you or do you manage that when, you know, one calls and says they want to play date with one or they want to play date with the other? How does that work?
You know, my kids' best friends are twins, Vincent and Elliot.
Okay, and both boys, though, not a girl and a boy.
Right, that's right. Yeah, okay. Both boys. Mm-hmm. But it is a package deal with twins. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I know because I sometimes actually take care of them. You know what I mean? That's something that you just know you get the both of them. It's almost like one kid. Twins are like one kid. You sort of think of them and treat them like a single kid. I guess the gender difference is sort of a different dynamic
than I'm familiar with.
But I know that in their case, and the kids expect it too. My kids. It's not like, hey, we want to hang out with Vincent. They call them Vincent and Elliot.
Oh, they're a unit. Right.
They are a unit. That is one name to them, Vincent and Elliot.
I asked Steve Inc. Steve Inc., our producer here on the show, he's got twins. He has twin boys.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that, luckily, that wasn't an issue for him. He said the boys kind of went together, and they still do.
Mm-hmm.
And he says their mother, who's fabulous, Linda Inc., she's super fabulous. She says she worries that they're not going to have separate friends, and they're not going to, you know, kind of have their own thing, because they're always together. They're good boys. They're together. They have the same friends. But
I mean, I assume that happens eventually.
I mean,
as they age, eventually they're going to become adults, and they're not going to just hang out together all the time.
My father's an identical twin.
Really?
Identical. My father is an
identical.
Did
that concern
twin.
You when you had kids? You know, that means you, I don't know
for
how
sure.
that works. That you
yeah, that I was,
because
it skips a generation. It skipped mine. We thought for sure one of us was going to get knocked up with twins. Please, I could barely handle
it. But your
the
kids
ones I had.
Are at risk of the twin factor.
Aye, aye, aye.
I don't mean to put it that way, but knowing people
right.
with twins,
they could.
Kind of a nightmare.
They could. It's a lot of work. Trust me, it's a lot of work. So my dad's an identical twin, and he and his brother share a brain. Literally, one could be thinking something in New Jersey, the other one is thinking it in Connecticut. They are sharing, like, they have, like, the Vulcan mind meld. Mm-hmm. They are together, and I mean that in every way, because they're major Trekkies. Saw the Star Trek movie, by the way, over the weekend. I really liked it. Digression. They are the same person, and they have split their body in two, but they think the same things. And they always were growing up, like, attached at the hip, good friends, the whole shebang. And that's, I think it's a beautiful thing that they have this connection, and it's wonderful. Fact is, it doesn't help my sister. If you have advice, this is why I bring it to the CCO listeners, because they know everything. 651-989-9226, or you can send me a text at 81807. This text says, Jordana and Chris, you can get candy cigarettes at Minnesota's largest candy store in Jordan.
Really? All over. I just quit smoking. I quit smoking a month ago, so now maybe.
Problem solved.
There you go.
There you go. Prop Rocks, Coke, and candy cigarettes. What more could a kid want?
You know, I used to work with Dark Star. Dark was big into the old candy. And he would come in and just have random things. And he'd say, hey, son. You know, one time he had me order him 3 cases of hot dog bubble gum.
Yes. Why shouldn't you have that?
Right. And then he ended up giving me 2 cases.
We
and
need
sat in a
bubble gum
in my house
that
for
tastes like hot dogs.
Yeah,
yes.
Why not?
That's a thing.
It's fantastic.
Yes. The Charms candies that you can only find in Chicago now, right? The Charms sucking candies. Oh, you're not old enough, Alex. Your father and your uncle are old enough. But those Charms sucking candies, and they make them in Chicago, and you can only get them in Chicago now. So people who go to Chicago bring them back here. But like old school candies are super fun. Again, we have a couple of conversations happening here, the crazy old candies, and then what my sister should do with her son and the friends. This is why I need advice, people. This is why I need advice. Okay, this other texter says, we're off the candy cigarettes kick. He says, by age 12, he should get to decide who he plays with, even if he wants to play with one twin and not the other. If his mom makes the decision for him, it takes away his personal power. Oh, I like that. Okay. So my sister's son should say, I'm going to invite this one over, even though the twins' moms asked for this play date. Or I guess at 12, they're still setting them up. I don't know. He says he should get. So I guess my son has the power to say, no, thanks, but I'm going to have one over instead of the other. Okay.
I apologize. I was slightly distracted. There's some major controversy at the Olympics that just happened while you're telling the story.
Discuss.
But I do want to ask about
this. Discuss that.
Is the parent of the twins trying to unload to go have
to unload both of them on my sister's kid?
Right. Well, that's the deal.
That's the problem. You know, it's not like her son is saying, I want to set up a, you know,
right.
an activity.
She needs to go handle some business and she needs to get rid of the kids for a day.
There you go. Jor, I'm
and that's understandable. I'm not criticizing as a parent. I know there's times you have to do that.
Yeah. Or the both of the boys are saying, we want to go play with your kid. So then my sister's kid is left going, well, I'll take one, but I won't take the other. And he doesn't want to make the kid feel bad. He's a good boy, my nephew. You know, he doesn't want to make the kid feel bad. But my sister's like, what should I do? She's got a lot of time to think about these things. Okay, we're going to take a break. And then I need to hear about the controversy at the Olympics because I'm super wrapped up in the 12-year-old drama, obviously. And boy, it's usually girl drama at 12-year-old. This is boy drama. Hold on. Jor, I'm a twin. We always had our own friends as kid. It's important for twins to have their own identity. Yeah, tell that to my nephew's friend. That's great advice. I completely agree with you. That's the drama. All right, listen. It's at 9:19. Chris is going to update us on the Olympic drama, and we're going to take more calls and texts.
Should I play the Olympic music when we come back, just to sort of set the stage?
We need more drama on the show.
If you can handle it. It's pretty intense.
Are there fireworks in the back?
It sounds like it.
I like it.
All right.
Maybe pop rocks in the back.
Wow.
When we return.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I got kid drama and we got candy drama.
And Olympic drama.
Hit me. What's the Olympic drama?
Okay. Allyson Felix is the sort of the big favorite to win the gold in a bunch of running events for America. Mm-hmm. She's won multiple golds before. She won gold in 2008 in Beijing. She won three golds in 2012 in London. She was running the 400-meter sprint, essentially, which is one time around the track. Mm-hmm. Or two times around the track. Once? Is it once? Okay, it's one time. And she's coming to the finish line on her way to gold. Shanae Miller, who I believe is Jamaican, dives across the finish line and beats her. Shanae Miller takes gold with a dive across the finish line. Shanae Miller beats Allyson Felix by a hand.
But is that legal?
I guess it is. But it's all over Twitter now. It's all over the TV. People are going crazy.
I don't like it.
And I think we're going to hear a lot about it over the next 24 hours to whether that should be legal or not. I don't like it either. It seemed desperate. It looked clumsy. I thought
that's not running.
Racer fell at the finish line, and then now it's showing on. It was intentional. She dove across the finish line to win.
Running then diving.
Yeah,
she
you
must
can't
have planned
dive.
That
You're not
for
supposed
a while.
To dive. I mean, everybody would dive
because diving is a separate event.
Right there is a dive. Well, yeah.
Synchronized.
Yeah.
Singular.
They have jumping
springboard.
Events on, in the field, track and field. This is not a jumping event. Anyway, so we'll hear a lot about that.
I don't like it. All right, Chris is on the Olympic drama. There's a lot of drama on the show tonight. It must be Monday. Marsha is in St. Paul. Marsha, you got a candy story for me?
Good evening.
Hi, dear.
I caught just a little bit of the conversation as I was coming home, and I thought I would share.
Hit me.
There is a place. Regina's Candies in St. Paul. Okay. On Cleveland and St. Clair, and there's one on South Robert. I have gotten Pop Rocks there for a 60s birthday party, and they also have Bonomo Taffy and the Licorice Pipes.
Licorice Pipes!
And the licorice roll-up thing, not with the red hot in the middle, but the roll-up, the round thing that you unroll to a big strip, and some other old-time candies.
That is so awesome. Remember those, what are those chalky discs that we used to eat? What are those called?
The Smarties?
No, they're not Smarties. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? I'm asking my guests in the studio. Hold on. They're not Sweet Tarts. They're really thin wafers.
Necco wafers.
There you go. Necco wafers. There you go. I bet they have those there, too.
I don't know if they do, but those are out and about. I've seen them in sundry stores.
And they still taste like crap. And we still eat them.
My father used to use them for shooting BBs at in the backyard.
There you go. That's what they're for, because it's like eating chalk. And disguised as candy. So fun. Marsha, thank you. Wait, tell me again the store.
Regina's Candies.
It's fantastic. Awesome. Yeah, Necco. People are texting me Necco
good
wafers.
Chocolate, too.
Oh, awesome. Marcia, thank you so much.
You're
great
very
stuff.
Welcome. Have a good night.
It's fun to think about this. I know you'd rather talk about candy than talk about my sister's drama with the twins, and that's okay. Let's see. Jor, www.candywarehouse.com/product/cigarette candy packs, 24 apiece. Okay, so would it be really terrible if I put these in my kids' goodie bag at the next birthday party?
They'd probably get kicked out of school.
Yeah, I'd be a pariah, wouldn't I? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's kind of funny, though, right? I'd be like in that movie Bad Moms that I want to see. I haven't seen that movie yet. That'd be good stuff. George, just in case you want to look for more favorites from our generation, 80s, 70s, what have you, this has candy by decade, www.oldtimecandy.com.
Okay, but if you get the candy from the 60s, I assume they haven't made it since the 60s. So
that's a little dangerous.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then again, it's probably not gone bad since
Well, it's
then.
Candy, right?
It's like spam. Oh, my gosh. Okay, Chris, Olympic drama update. In the track, the winner is the person who first breaks the plane of the finish line.
Right. But you can't, I would think you have to stay on your feet. You're running. It's a running competition.
There have to be rules, people. It's the
I mean,
Olympics.
Especially when the Americans lose. We don't have enough medals. We need more medals. We need all the medals.
Can't have all the medals. But there have to be rules against that. All right, we will be following that drama on Twitter. Chris, you're on it. Let's talk to our friend Alex Daniels. Alex, pull up to the mic over there.
All right, I'm here.
Alex is a senior at Lawrence College in Dubuque, Iowa.
Yes, Lawrence College.
How's Iowa?
I like Iowa.
You're from here, though, right?
No, I'm actually from Iowa. Oh. But we have about half the family up here in Minnesota. Like half in Minnesota, half in Iowa.
And you are a journalism major?
I'm a media studies major.
Okay, so describe to me what media studies is and what kind of things you have access to grow up and be a broadcaster.
Media studies is anything involving editing video or images or sound in any way. So we can do anything through like selling advertisements and kind of the marketing aspect of it to more programming or actual like on-air talent or recording or editing videos and that kind of thing. So we do a whole different list of things at Loras where we have a live television station, which we put on a live show every Wednesday night.
Nice. A live newscast or?
We actually have two shows. We have a newscast and we have a sports zone kind of thing. We call it Sports Zone.
Very
where
cool.
We flip off every week. So news goes one week, sports goes the next week, and then we switch over to news again. And we have two separate anchors for both news and sports. We have separate people that work on news and sports both times. So we run through stories quite often.
And everybody rotates. So you get to be the sports anchor, the weather person, the news anchor, the reporter. You get to do everything, the producer, the director, what have you.
For the most part, yeah, that's usually one class. But the actual television station, we usually audition for stuff, and then that's usually what you have as kind of your job for that semester.
That's cool.
So then at semester, then if somebody graduates or if they decide they want to try something else, then they can, and then they do re-auditions for new positions for.
And do you cover very local news or you do national or international
stories? We generally
stay
right in the Dubuque area is generally what we do, but we try to get off campus as much as possible. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things the head of our department wants us to do was try and go out and get the actual stories in Dubuque, but we also do some national news and some like international news, but we try to connect it back towards in Dubuque or locally as much as possible.
What's the big story on campus these days? Is there one?
Not really. There hasn't been a whole lot going on. We just got Sports Zone will probably do a pretty big thing. We just got a transfer from Illinois State University for the Loras basketball team, which being a Division III college in terms of sports is a pretty big jump from that to that. So that'll probably be one of the big sports or documentaries that they put out.
Is there a lot of election talk on campus?
We do usually have a small thing that we talk about some type of politics. I actually wrote, I think, three pieces on politics for this last semester. So we interview some of the people on campus. We also interview one of our political professors occasionally.
What's the political feeling on campus now? Are they anti-establishment? Are they Republican, Democrat? What's the vibe?
A lot of people don't really know who they're going to vote for because
really?
They don't really – well, because there's so many things going on and there's so many arguments back for this person. Oh, well, this person has this. Yeah, but they also have this bad thing toward them. And then you go to the other side and they're like, oh, this is a good thing. Oh, but this isn't very good. So it's kind of like nobody really wants to stand on one side because if you stand on one side of the fence, now you're labeled as this person. And if you stand on the other side of the fence, then you're labeled as that person. So it's kind of – a flux of things where it's like we like bits and pieces of everyone, but it's unsure exactly what is officially going to come down to it once we get to election time. So
you think that's a generational thing, that your generation doesn't necessarily want to be labeled as one party? Or is it just this election that is so divisive?
I think it's more this election, just because we have too many, we have two such personalities on both in Hillary and Trump that they affect so many different things and they emit so much emotions in people that I think those are the two big things that kind of clash with people. So,
all right, Alex Daniels, we'll be talking with him. He'll be here the whole time during our show tonight. Yep. We'll chat with you again with what's going on campus, but we have to take a break. I'm certainly late for the weather. When we get back, Nina Badson is going to join me. She is a blogger, and she specifies really on writing about friendship. Well, a new study out on friendship that says your BFF might not think you're their BFF. We're going to talk with Nina right after the break. Welcome back. Jordana Green here, Chris Elston in studio, and we have some friends from Iowa in studio also, broadcasting student with his dad and uncle. So, Alex, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Let's talk a little bit about friendship. Would your best friend say that you were their best friend? You probably don't want to know the answer to that question. Think about how many Facebook friends you have. I mean, you probably have hundreds, if not a thousand Facebook friends. But who among them are your true, real friends? Who do you call on those dark nights or when things are really crappy? Not just to post vacation pictures during your great spring break. Well, recent research indicates only about half of perceived friendships are mutual. That means that if you say they're my good friend, that other person would agree that you are their good friend. One of my friends, and she is a frequent blogger about friendship, she blogs at herstories.com, is Nina Badson at ninabadson.com. You can also find her. She's a contributor to this show as well as many other media outlets. Is joining me now on the phone to talk about friendship. Hi, Nina. Is it herstories.com?
It's herstoriesproject.com.
Herstoriesproject.com. I get your emails. I click. I don't even go to the website because I make sure I follow you directly. So I'm glad you're joining us right now.
Thank you.
Were you surprised to learn about this research that friendship isn't always reciprocal?
Well, that seemed like a really stark number.
Did that
seem stark to you?
Yeah, half the people. Like, if I asked half my friends, and I don't even have that many friends, half of them, am I, you know, your good friend? They would say, not so much.
I mean, I find that a little hard to believe. And I think one thing that might skew research like that is, let's say, and I think a lot of people have one person in their life that they're not feeling that mutual friendship from. And so you may have four or five really great close friends, but there's one person maybe you've been pursuing more than has pursued you back. They don't answer your texts that quickly. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily include you in things that you maybe feel you've included them on, birthday dinners, things like that. And then we focus on that one person and forget about the four people who you have a really great friendship with. That is the only logical answer with not being able to read the studies, which they only cited one of them in the New York Times article that this came from. Just that's what my common sense says, is it's people are focusing perhaps on the one person that there's been angst with.
You write about friendship a lot. In your research and in talking and interviewing folks for your blogs and having feedback on them, how many friends do people truly have these days? Like, I'm talking about real friends that you talk to numerous times a week or you actually make plans with.
I think, well, I mean, I couldn't possibly give you a number, but I know that there is a lot of, to use the word angst again, about this topic, because a lot of the questions I get, I write an advice column, and I only do one question a month, but I get a lot more emails than that, and I choose one a month. I'd say the theme of a lot of the emails has a lot to do with this, am I making more effort than my quote-unquote friend? Mm. And so it's either questions about how to make new friends, how to change somebody from an acquaintance to a friend, what do I do when it's clear that I'm more interested in a friendship than this person? There's a lot of this. And so I think this article in New York Times became so popular because of the title, which is, Do Your Friends Actually Like You? I think people are worried about that. And even though when you actually read through the article, it doesn't necessarily directly address what's in the title and the whole thing, that there's a reason that this kept going around. Because people do tend to just read the headline and then share it on Facebook and send it around. There is this worry about that. And I talked to my mom about it. She has a ton of close friends and has forever. And I've always watched her as a child and then even through now. These women are just there for her, thick and thin. And I said, what do you think that your success has been in friendship? And she said it was the telephone. And that when she was in her 20s, 30s, and 40s, she and her closest girlfriends spoke on the phone all the time.
Really?
And they were, I don't know if you have any memory of this, I remember my mom just being on the phone, no cell phone.
Oh, for sure, with the giant cord that stretched across the kitchen, you know, the spiral cord with the, you know, the avocado green phone in my kitchen, for sure.
Absolutely, and she was on the phone all the time.
Yeah, she didn't talk to us. We were nothing. She was on the phone with her friends all day.
Yes. And I actually think there's probably something healthy about that because you're actually speaking. And she said she doesn't, I mean, Facebook, she's not even part of all that. She says that texting and email is really what has gotten away. And I think that's true, too. I see that in some of the questions they get. There's this lot, I can't tell you how many times people have written to me something like, I text with, you know, Sally 5 times a day, but when we get together in person, we don't have anything to talk about, or she won't make plans with me. That's usually the case. So people email all day, they text all day, but they try to make plans with this person, and there's no follow-through. And it's a false sense of intimacy on the text. You think you're close with somebody, and it's easy. It's a great way to make plans if you're going to make plans, or quick check-in, but it isn't, I don't want to say it's not real, because those connections do exist, but it's not deep. I think that's fair to say.
Do you find that in your personal experience that you can text with a lot of people during the day, but do you have the one friend or the two friends that you call almost every day?
Not every day, but I'll tell you, my sister-in-law lives in Chicago, and she and I are always both in the pickup line at exactly 3:15 during the school year. And she and I speak every day, actually, and even if it's just for 5 minutes, and we're both just sitting there in our cars, and we just know that's when we're going to talk. Over the summer, we haven't been able to do that because we're not in our cars like that.
Right.
And there's definitely been a difference. We text, and we email, and we leave messages here and there, and there's a lot of phone tag, but there isn't a lot of actual phone time, and we feel distant, and she and I speak about it. I know she wouldn't mind me talking about it because it's all above board. But we know we'll get back to the regular schedule, but there is this like distance that's created when you're only talking through a machine. Well, I guess a phone's a machine too when you're speaking, but talking to someone is so much different. And when it's long distance, especially, and a lunch is not an option, a walk is not an option, I think a phone call is a good replacement. It's certainly way above the intimacy of a text or an email.
So that's and I'm asking you, is this the way you would say friendships are almost defined? Like the really good friends, the BFFs, are the ones that get the calls and the lunches and the walks, and everybody else is text or Facebook?
I think there is some truth to that. Do you find that?
Well, only because now you're saying it out loud, I'm actually thinking, okay, who in my life do I call every day or you know, every other day? And who do I just text with? Like that actually draws this line in the sand for me where I could say, oh, yeah. I mean, I have one friend that I call every day, every single day. And I might call her more than once a day. It's when I have a free moment, I call this friend. And, you know, we talk probably numerous times a day. My sister sometimes, you know, I speak to frequently. She's a sister, so I think that's a little bit different.
Yeah.
But I only have one, Nina. I only have one
who worked when I was like doing the 100% stay at home mom thing, and she worked at Barney's in New York City, but on the buying side. And she sat at a desk, and I always knew I could reach her.
Oh, so she could take phone calls.
Yes,
sure.
She could take phone calls, and she could reach me, you know, a lot more easily. I only had one kid at the time. I mean, it was a lot easier, and we would talk multiple times a day. And once she left that job and was doing other things and didn't have that quick availability, it did change the friendship. And I still feel close to her, but it isn't that constant catching up. And like it says in the article, you maybe have room for one or two of those, and one of those may include your spouse, which
yeah.
I would argue your spouse, I know people say your spouse is your best friend. I think it's healthy to have an actual best friend or two different from your spouse.
Okay, but how many times a day do you talk to your spouse?
We do talk multiple times a day, but quick. It's sort of, it's not like emotional check-ins. I feel like it's more business-like.
I talk to Mark 100,000 times a day.
Yeah, and we text and we email. And
yes, 100,000 times a day. I talk to, we're either calling or texting. I know we're crazy people. And he even said to me when we started our relationship, he's like, wow, we're communicating a lot, but that's how I have relationships. If I'm with you 100%, I'm with you 100%, and we talk probably 5,000 times a day.
I do want to clarify that I don't think that you need to talk to somebody constantly to feel close. I think there can be a depth of friendship there where you at least talk occasionally. Mm-hmm. I think of this like with long distance friends.
Yeah, I agree with that.
There is something to that, like where we could talk for an hour, and it's so nice to know that we haven't spoken in 2 months or 3 months, sometimes 6 months, but we can still pick right back up. That's its own special kind of friendship. But for in-town friendships, I think there has to be some face-to-face or at least some, you know, phone.
I think of that with new friendships too, like friendships that you've made post 30 or post 40. I feel like, you know, those are your grown up relationships that you need to talk on the phone or you need to kind of keep those going. But the friendships that I made when I was 12, that's always going to be there. And I can call that person in the deep, dark night when I'm miserable and say, Meredith, I'm sad. And she's going to take that call. And I know she's in Puerto Rico and we're going to talk about it right there because she's right there with me because we've been friends since, you know, like in utero.
Yeah, that is true. That mm-hmm. definitely is more common with even a college friendship, which just doesn't take as much effort because when you live with someone, mm-hmm. you don't need to do all this plan making and making time for somebody.
It was an interesting study that the New York Times posted it. It was a study that said 50% of the people that you think are your close friends are not reciprocal. That don't feel the same way. And this, I don't talk to Nina about this to depress you. It was a gut check for me. I thought to myself, like, wow, all right, I need to clean out my Facebook feed. I need to think about that. What does that mean to me? And it was a conversation like you and I just had. What is friendship? How many do we need? What defines a real one? And again, what defines a real one for Nina and I might be something different for you.
Yes.
I will be available to take a couple of calls after the break. 651-989-9226 or 818-07. Nina Badson, tell us again where we can find you.
The best place is on my personal website, ninabadzin.com. It's BADZIN.
And by the way, Nina is a great friend.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. And tell your husband I said hi, and we will talk soon, my friend.
Sounds good.
We'll be back right after the break.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I don't have too much time at the end of this hour, but Chris, you made a really good point about text and friendships.
Well, texts are great because you can be really funny. You can, and I think you have so much time to contemplate and structure your thoughts. And so you can be really funny or insightful or polite or romantic, right? Mm-hmm. But when you have to talk to somebody, you don't have that luxury. And I said, we have a group text with a bunch of my friends, and the group texts are hilarious. We're all the funniest people. We're all Robin Williams, right? But when we hang out together, it's not that funny. We're just not that clever. We are when we have time to think about it. We can put like memes and GIFs in there, but yeah, live yeah. we're not.
You're
live.
Pretty good on text, by the way.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
That's actually true. We're not that interesting in real life
as we
are on text.
No, if we could take 30 seconds before any time we had to speak, right, and really think about what we had to say.
And edit yourself.
Sure.
Craft it.
Yeah.
That's right. Maybe, you know, do some research before you're going to make that comment.
Right.
That's really
a little funny. Wikipedia.
Oh, friendships are hard. This is what I tell my now 13-year-old. She turned 13 last week. I said, girlfriend, relationships are hard. Friendships, marriages, boyfriends, girlfriends, siblings, relationships are hard. When we get back, Wednesday is National Thrift Day. What is the best thing you found at a thrift shop when we return?